from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here saying hello and welcome once again to the program. I'm glad that you've joined us for our 15-minute gospel broadcast this morning, and may I encourage you to continue listening as we let the Bible speak. Doing that today is the Reverend Ian Brown, and he's turning our thoughts to some certainties in an uncertain world. But before we hear that message, let's listen to these words in song. In fact, they're the words of a grand old gospel hymn, Only Trust Him.
Good morning and welcome again to Gospel AM. Our children were playing a game during one of those long car journeys. Quiz Quest, 1,000 questions and answers. Two of the questions grabbed my attention. Number one was this: if I say it will rain tomorrow, is this statement certain, uncertain, or impossible? Number two: if I toss a coin, it will land on heads, is that certain, uncertain, or impossible? The correct answer to both questions is, of course, uncertain. And it's this issue of uncertainty that I want to talk about this morning. Some certainties for the Christian in an uncertain world. Uncertainty. Life is punctuated by and riddled with uncertainty. Uncertainty is a blight, a scourge, a crippling, fear-based virus that I'm sure you'll agree affects all of us. We just have to agree with George Bernard Shaw, mind you, when he says the only thing people are certain about is their uncertainty. As we get ready to step forward into a new millennium, the level of uncertainty is being cranked up like never before. Will all of our electrical appliances survive Y2K? Will it be safe to travel? Will our money be secure in banks? Will we be safe if we happen to end up in hospital? Think too much about the subject and there's more than a good chance you'll become depressed, if not entirely driven to distraction. uncertainty at any time is a most unsettling and distressing thing. And the Bible confirms that we can take nothing for granted. There's no guarantee that any of our plans about even the immediate future will be fulfilled. I read in Proverbs 27 in the verse 1 these words, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Again in James 4 in the verse 14, that famous text in Scripture, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." This life on earth is also very uncertain. And yet I'm glad to say, as we take the first few tentative steps towards the year 2000, that there are some things that are absolute certainties for the child of God. Facts that give him comfort and confidence as he faces the future. You see, no matter what happens, these things won't change. They're fixed, immovable, certain. I invite you to turn with me to the Word of God today as we look at one of these certainties. In 2 Timothy 1 and the verse 12, the Apostle Paul declares, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." That verse tells me that as we face all that the new year holds for us, the child of God can be certain about the safety of his soul. Michael Faraday, the famous scientist, was asked by some of his students as he came close to his death, "What are your speculations now?" He immediately replied, "Speculations, I have none. I'm resting on certainties." Then he repeated slowly and deliberately the words, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." It's a most wonderful gospel certainty that the believer is kept. On some points, Paul was magnificently dogmatic. I must admit that I love Paul's forthright dogmatism whenever it surfaces. There's a real tonic quality about it, especially when I can turn to that in such a day of confusion, contradiction, and uncertainty as the one in which we live. God is able to keep those whom he has proved himself able to save. And that's really what Paul is saying. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Now for the Christian, the storms of life might strain at his cables, they might tug severely at his anchor, but he won't get adrift, because God can hold him steadfast and sure. I really like the way Priscilla Owens puts it, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock that cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." The claim has been made, it matters not what a man loses if he saves his soul, but if he loses his soul, it matters not what he saves. Is your soul in safekeeping today? It's important to note the condition on which God keeps our soul for us. And Paul underlines that condition in the language that he uses in 2 Timothy 1 and 12. He's underlining here the fact that there must be a clear commitment of our souls to him. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." If you're staying in a hotel, you'll usually see a sign near the reception desk which says, "The management will not be held responsible for the safety of any valuables unless they're placed in the custody of the hotel safe." The safe is able to keep, but only if the valuables are committed to it. Put into the safe, those valuables are kept secure until the time when they're needed. Dr. Alexander McLaren said of 2 Timothy 1 and the verse 12, "The picture is a plain enough one. A man has some rich treasure. He's afraid of losing it. He's doubtful of his own power of keeping it. He looks about for some reliable person and trusted hands, and he deposits it there." You and I have a soul, an immortal soul. It's such a valuable treasure that we need to ensure it's in safe hands. And that's why the only reliable advice on this issue is to commit your soul to the Lord's keeping, and you'll be kept. You'll be kept definitely, you'll be kept eternally. That's a most comforting thought as we move into this new millennium. If we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ, he will keep us gloriously safe until the day when he'll take us up to heaven. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you committed yourself, your life, all of your affairs into the hands of the Lord and asked him to take care of it? Asked him to save you? Asked him to redeem you and cover you with his precious blood and keep you by his grace? But before we leave this subject this morning, how come Paul's so convinced about this? What grounds had he for saying, I know, and I am persuaded? How could he use this confident language? The reason for his complete assurance had nothing to do with himself. He wouldn't trust himself for a second. His confidence existed only because of the greatness of the object of his faith. Our being kept safe through time, through eternity, doesn't depend on the strength or the weakness of our faith. It depends on the strength of the person in whom our faith is placed. That's why Paul emphasizes, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. His confidence wasn't resting in himself, didn't depend upon his own ability, but it depended on the power of the Lord he believed in. The Christian in life doesn't always know what, or know when, or know where, or whether, or why, but he knows whom, and that's the important thing. In this age of uncertainty, we need this living relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be able to say with the apostle, I know whom I have believed. When Ned Weed, cobbler evangelist who did a remarkable work for God in Northampton, when he came to die, he was given a great funeral. One man standing in a public house along the route taken by the funeral cortege was explaining to the others the reason for the crowds and telling them the kind of man Ned had been. He was wonderful thick with the Almighty, he said. This country needs men like Ned Weed. Men and women who know God personally and savingly. I wonder, as you look forward into the year 2000, have you an assurance like Paul's? For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I can't give any better advice than that you should submit your life without reserve to the saving and the keeping grace of our God. That will bring welcome certainty to your life. I pray it will be so.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.